Okay, so wonderful. We have all met here, coming from different quests, different queries. So now that you have spent, I think this is the first day you spent here. Okay. So after coming here, what do you feel?
Very relaxed.
Very relaxed. So our life runs on parallel streams. One is the outer life. And we try to catch the thread of outer life. And very often we lose it because we see too many threads around and we don't know which one to catch first and which one to catch later, how to join them together. And life becomes pretty confusing because of that, isn't it? You experience too many things. But if you look closely, there is an inner thread of life. And inner thread of life is the core seeking. And that core seeking, if we go even childhood, adolescence, it declares itself in some way or the other, like a vague idea, some idealism, some ideal state, some meaning, purpose, call it whatever. So it declares itself, perfect balance. These are terms. And it is this inner thread which carries us, which brings us, you know, you had number of choices and something has brought you here. So if we catch that inner thread, then we solve the mystery of life. Otherwise, life remains jumping from one situation to another, one circumstance to another, one condition to another. But that inner thread is the most important, and the way to catch it is to catch the seeking. For example, here you are for health, you know, like many of you, 3 days. Then you'll be back. What will be the seeking after that? Maybe money, maybe something else. So what is the seeking? That's very important to, while especially you are here 3 days and you have time to feel more relaxed, all that stress of things is not there. It's a perfect moment to catch that inner thread. What is it that I am seeking in life? If I were to ask this question randomly, I'll find it very difficult to answer, isn't it? Whether it be in job, what am I really looking for? Whether it be in relationship, what am I really looking for? And the more you go deeper into the core seeking, the more you'll be able to navigate through life, the inner compass. The second thing which is so important is, I'm just setting the ball rolling. Huh? You have to ask the questions. What is our basic faith in life? It may sound very strange. We never raise this question. What do you believe life to be? Core faith. Faith has nothing to do with religion, form, going to a temple or going. But what is it that you have faith about life? What is the will to be, idea and will to be? Like a question like, say 20 years, 30 years down the line or in life, what is it that you would like to be? It could be something external, but then again, what is its value to us? Say for example, I become the CEO of a company. So what is its value in terms of our intrinsic worth? So when we look at it like that, then life begins to unfold, disclose its own inner meaning. Our outer life is like a shell hiding a pearl, precious pearl. But we are busy painting the shell, making it look nice, beautiful. We are glued to the shell. And in that process, the pearl is getting ready. When it is ready, that's the time we begin to seek what is inside. It's like a baby in the womb, slowly growing. That's how life has been described by the sages and seers. You believe in rebirth or anything like that? I mean, traditional belief I'm talking of. Yeah, you believe in rebirth. Okay. So what is rebirth about? Yes, that's true. But why does it do that? I agree with you. Rebirth is a logical necessity if you accept that there is anything like a soul. If one doesn't accept soul, then the whole thing collapses. Not only, see, when you don't believe in soul or a divine reality, not only the rebirth collapses, meaning collapses. If there is no divine reality, then why are we seeking whatever we are seeking? Isn't it? This was at least my question as a 17-year-old studying in Armed Forces Medical College, Pune. That why I am studying? Because all the doctors, and not all the doctors, but the medical paradigm was that I am just a body. Chemicals. If there is no deeper reality, that's what is my reality. But try thinking for a moment that I am just a bundle of chemicals. Imagine telling your child, you know what? Basically, I am a chemical accident. Try, see, something will jar inside, isn't it? It will sound very strange. And how much ever I may like to convince myself about it or blindly believe, but still, we don't act like that. We don't treat our children like a bundle of chemistry. Isn't it? So there is in man an intuition that we are more than this body, more than this chemical combination. And the moment we have this sense, intuitive sense, that there is something more, it opens the door to progress. Otherwise there is no sense of progress. So progress means that I am something more than what I seem to be, and I need to then discover. That's why we try. We think that by becoming, let's say, by earning a lot of wealth, I have progressed. You know, that means there is something more we can do, more we can achieve than what we presently are. But equally, we can talk about inner things, something we want to be, something which we, for instance, we want a happiness which can never tarnish, no? That's something common to everyone. Everybody wants happiness. Obviously, no? Yeah. So, I mean, nobody wants sadness. Everybody wants happiness. And yet, happiness slips from the fingers. When most you think you have got it, the moment it's like somebody has described, like sunshine or rain, you catch it and it slips. There's a song in Hindi. कहते हैं ज्ञानी दुनिया है पानी पानी पे लिखी लिखाई है सबने देखी है सबने जानी हाथ किसी के ना आई राइट बिकॉज द मोमेंट यू ग्रैस्प इट इट स्लिप्स सो वाई इज इट सो बट वी सीक हैप्पीनेस देयर इज नो डाउट अबाउट इट नॉट अ हैप्पीनेस विच चेंजेस इनटू सैडनेस वी ऑल हैव द सेम कॉमन सीकिंग ए जॉय विच डज नॉट कैरी ड्रैग सॉरो एज इट शेड A wisdom that does not change into doubt and confusion after some time. No? So many times, I know it. After some time, we realize what that knowledge was worth it. We want a love which, which always remains beautiful, unfading, harmonious. No, everybody seeks that love from birth to whatever time. And we change forms. From parents we seek it, then friend, then wife or husband, children. We keep seeking and we don't find. We find some scraps, little bit. So we are often like beggars with a bowl, seeking doles of happiness. But Mystic experience tells us that its seekings are perfectly valid. They are not invalid. Most of us give up. We say, that's life. Kabhi khushi, kabhi gham. We accept it. That's how life is. It will give some joy, some sorrow. That's what makes life. Much like when you walk into this hall, that there are places where you don't know it is high. You think it is high, but it's plain. And where you think it is plain, that's what Duryodhana's, not Duryodhana's, Indraprastha. So it's like appearances don't show us reality. So we come to accept, and that's really a sad condition of humanity, that we come to accept less than what we have dreamt of. Because nobody told us that this is valid, this is possible. When we take to spiritual life, there are people who tell us it's Maya. Now any amount of telling it is Maya doesn't help. Maybe for a moment one feels, okay, it is Maya. But next moment, the cell phone is there, the family is there, the job is there. So what is it that is happening in life? What is its meaning, purpose? How it all began? Is there a meaning at all or not? That's a wonderful question. What is the meaning of life? I think that's a very first question one should raise, at least as an adolescent. This used to be my quest. Why am I doing medicine? What will happen if I become a doctor? I joined the Air Force, so I used to feel, what will happen if I become an Air Marshal in the Air Force? What does it really mean? Does it mean anything at all? So this seeking for purpose, meaning, I'm not going to say, because this is a joy of discovery will be taken away. Certain things are to be discovered, because that's an aha moment and nobody should steal it away. So, but for me it was an aha moment. Of course, when Sri Aurobindo caught me by the head and neck and heart and God knows where all. It was such a wonder that yes, this I am seeking for something and here is something. Meaningful goal. And then rebirth makes sense because it's a long journey through which we have come here. And yet a long journey that we have to undertake, maybe short or long, towards the fulfillment of that meaning. And that meaning is inside us. If we look closely, we'll discover that purpose. Why we are here. You should spend some time, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just seeking that purpose. And if we seek it sincerely, we'll get to know. We'll get an intuitive sense. The faith and will to be, all these are things which are covered right now. We don't know it. We just take randomly whatever thoughts are coming as true. So in spiritual literature, this what is called as ignorance, which covers up the light within. So this is just a little backdrop, the threshold of discovery, but we should discover it ourselves. To each one, this meaning will declare itself in its own way. And that's the beauty of it. Otherwise, we'll turn it into a fixed and formal religion. Okay? Everybody should have the same meaning, same way. You should discover. So with this background, any questions?
Have you thought that happiness in your mind without making it slip? Have you thought that happiness in your hands without making it slip?
If you catch it, you will slip it. Because you have to give yourself to it. That's the trick. You grasp it and you lose it. Because it's too vast. So you have to. And very good question this, by the way. You have to grow vast. So how do you grow vast? And we can take that example. We live closed in a hole. Miserable hole. What is that hole? That hole is called me, myself, my life, my family, my children, my job, my money, my husband, my wife. That's a miserable hole. And I'll give an example which I often ask. I'm a psychiatrist, by the way, also a psychiatrist. So, and sometimes people come in a state of depression, and they used to, in Delhi, they used to come to Central Medical Establishment where I was posted. So I would ask them, you have come all the way. They are eager to talk about, you know, the problems. After that, after listening, I would ask them, tell me, what all did you see on the way? They were beautiful trees. Nobody notices. That's why I ask, have you been to this place? Have you been? There is so much in this world. I am talking even materially. Forget about all other things. We are so busy just seeing ourselves that we miss even in this world as it is today. Far from a perfect world. One has to be truly on weeds to say it's a perfect world. It's not. But the fact is that even then, even now, I mean, even on this short stretch from Matriniketan to the doorstep, it's just watching the sea, so much we learn. We learn watching the sea that the waves are ever changing, yet there is the stable backdrop of everything. We know about Brahman and Maya just by watching the waves. We understand that though it looks like a tiny wave, it's all its force comes from the ocean. Each wave carries within it the ocean, each drop. Imagine if we can just emulate that and keep it in ourselves, that we are like a wave, but there is the whole ocean, call it divine shakti, whatever we want. In each wave, in each particle of existence, in each drop, the drop rising on a wave to the crest, is it not the whole ocean which has pushed it? And when it falls, where does it go? Back to the ocean. Nothing to fear. Nothing to worry. And through all this rise and fall, where is the wave going? Forward or backward? See, it looks like a rise and fall. Then it will rise again. That's rebirth. But it's moving forward because that's how the ocean is impelling it. So amazing life can be. If you just observe so much around us, that's what is the Veda written in every aspect of creation. So if you try to hold it, and if you try to squeeze it, it's gone. Give yourself. That's what people give themselves to this wonderful creation in different ways. Some people take it that they love God or they love humanity and they want to do human service. This is something tangible. So they give themselves to serving humanity. It helps. It helps to open us to something vaster, not just for me. Or some people give themselves to a great ideal. Look at them. I mean, when you look at some of these soldiers, my military background, I've seen deaths and, you know, it's how they save their fellow men and take the bullet. It's so true. It's not a movie scene. It's a real thing. That moment they are seized with something much greater than their little frame, their little body, their little family. They actually take it on themselves. There are such stories which touch the heart, real stories. And actually you can't make a movie on it because they are so real. You can't capture that moment what may have transpired in the mind of the jawan or the officers. Our officers sacrifice their lives. They play from the front. What must have gone into their heads? They had a family. They had everything. What kind of joy? Just giving themselves to a great ideal. But the greatest of all ideal is living for the divine. There is a divine purpose in existence, divine unfolding. And if we can live for that, then it gives a permanent value to life. So there are different ways of giving yourself. But even when we go to, but what is our normal attitude? When we talk about an ideal, we say, what will be mera fayda kya hoga? Isn't it? What? How will it going to benefit me? When we go to God, look after my family, look after my this, that, everything. And if a God can promise it, we like that kind of God. But see, imagine if a God says, look here. I mean, see, this is a contradiction to the law of karma. I'm surprised why in India people, because if you believe in karma, then no God will blanket tell you everything will be good, good because you have prayed. Then there is no law of karma. Isn't it? Logically, I'm not saying whether it's this way or that way or what law of karma is. I'm just explaining. So, yet we go, even when we are face to face with something which is for us, the divine, What do we do? Imagine, sometimes I just imagine even for a moment. Actually imagine. See Krishna or Buddha or of course Sri Aurobindo's mother actually is here, right here. And we are in front of them. What is it that I am going to ask? It's not an idol where we can go and meet and 10 times back and forth and pay some money and get a darshan. Imagine in reality, they are here just for a few moments. Suddenly they take it that, okay, what are we going to ask? Any quick answers?
Happiness.
Huh?
Happiness.
Happiness. Temporary, permanent. Permanent happiness. What would you ask?
Peace.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Permanent, no? I'm presuming.
Well-being of my children.
Okay. Okay, happiness for me and all others, let's say. Put it like that. Yes. More or less, we can agree on at least this as a baseline. Okay, good. Now, if he says, all right, there is a little price to be paid. What will happen to the mind? Calculation will start. Okay? There is a catch in this question. The catch is someone who can give you permanent happiness for you, family, everyone. Would you not like him to be forever his? He can give you. Imagine a king who can open to you, he has unlimited store and he can give you. Is that a wise choice or the wiser choice is can I just be with you always? Which is a wiser choice? Sure, no? But see, we miss out.
Simple logic.
Pure logic. Pure logic. That someone who we believe and trust, and I am with you in that, that he can give you whatever you ask. How much more beautiful just to give ourselves to him, that keep me with you forever. Then, you know, you are sure. People do this even outwardly when they believe that a minister or somebody, big fellow, can help you out. They like to be in his sort of, you know, who's who list. Good books. Carry the name. I know him. Because rest you know. Because today you are asking for happiness. Tomorrow you may ask for knowledge. But your moment is gone. He has given happiness. After some time you get bored with this happiness. You don't know what to do now. Suddenly you realize, oh, I got happiness. I wish I had knowledge. But that moment is gone. Again we go. Again we ask. Then when knowledge comes, we may say, but love is missing in my life. I have happiness. I have knowledge. I don't have love. I am a lone fellow enjoying my lonely happiness. What good it is. I need to share it. So love comes there. No, because unless you share it, it makes no meaning. So this happiness needs to be shared. The way is, like you said, children, somebody with whom you can share. So then comes love. Then you may also ask for beauty. Why not? But without power, all these things remain incomplete. Power is important, no? Otherwise, we'll again feel afraid. I am carrying happiness, unlimited happiness store in everywhere. And as I am walking by, even though he has said, permanent, by the way, I have added. Huh? Most people would say happiness. They don't know the trick. He will give you unlimited, but we lose it as soon as we step out. All these things increase by sharing. And we want to close them. So we lose it to start with. But as we go, now the fear comes in. I've got unlimited happiness. This fellow wants, that fellow wants, everybody wants. Who knows, someday this talk will get over. Doubts will come in. Fears will come in. The power is important. To lead a powerless life is such a meaningless thing, no? So all these things are contained in that being who is giving, who is capable of giving us all this. So the most logical thing is, that's why they say that bhakti is the highest, but not a bhakti which is asking, asking, asking. That's hardly bhakti, that's bargaining. There's a difference between business and love. Most people don't know the difference. I use a Hindi term, pyar hai ya vyapar hai? Vyapar is, what benefits I am going to get. But pyar is by nature to give. So if one gives oneself to the divine, but you need faith that he'll take care. Even a human being, if you really love and he loves you, will take care. Even a human parent, to the best of their ability. How much more the divine will take care? How much more? We can't even imagine. But that is where there is a leap of faith. We still want somewhere a written agreement. Pakka to, I am going to give myself. But that's not giving. Giving is falling in love. So that's where we hesitate, we doubt, we turn our feet back. Again we retrace and life goes on. Asking something from here, asking from there. We even don't believe that divine can give us unlimited happiness. By the way, most of us, that's why we never ask. No, we go there and ask for this or that favors. Then we go here, there to countless human beings to get some happiness. Because we don't really trust that he is capable of giving. In fact, he wants to give. It's not that he wants to hold it back. But we are too small. That's where the problem comes. Whatever he starts giving, very selfishly we want to just... And we realize that we can't receive it because we close, container closes. That's why to grow wide was one of the things that the Vedic rishis aspired for. Wideness, vastness. Look beyond the family. Look beyond the clan. Look beyond the tribe. Sri Krishna says, no. Look beyond even the nation. Look beyond humanity. Look beyond all the creatures. Imagine somebody living in that state. Automatically you will get happiness because it's the nature of life. And there is a small little test one can do. Just few moments. Either look at the sky with all its vast. If one can see the stars. Or just the sky in its vastness. Or imagine life unfolding through many lives. Through endless, boundless space. Within few minutes one begins to feel so relaxed. Just few moments. Why? Because we become wide. When we become wide, it's the nature of existence is delight. That's how the rishis say. Raso vesa. It's delight. So why we don't get delight? Because we close ourselves to it. And the more we, it's like sunlight is there, but we pull the curtain. No, 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 I want to sleep. I don't want. Oh, it's too much. But if we open ourselves, become wide. And that's why there are people who are by nature are generous. They give freely and they receive freely. But this is a civilizational failure or disease. Lack of vitamin L. Lack of vitamin G. Generosity. Lack of vitamin L. Love, yes. Lack of vitamin F. Faith. So that's the unfortunate part. But we need not be like that.
Here's a story. Somebody went to Akbar Badshah.
Yeah.
And he wanted to see him because Akbar had given a. Anybody can come and see me anytime. So this poor man went and said, I want to see the emperor. So the emperor cannot meet you because he is praying. So he said, who is he praying to? God. Who is God? He is the highest. But what is he praying for? He said that I don't know, but because he's God, Akbar believes that God can give everything. So he said, he went back. He said, why should I go to Akbar? I'll go to him and be with him.
Always. He can give to Akbar, he can give to me.
That's right. Him always. So, it's not a question of asking for this or asking for that.
Yes.
Just go to the source and be there.
Be there. That's what is the crux of things.
It's a very beautiful thing on this Akbar.
Yeah, yeah, I know. This story, yes, it's a mystic story. There are quite a few stories like that, like Diogenes and Alexander. He turned back from India when he saw a mystic. He said,
he thought he could never win.
So, this is of course our inheritance. We are very fortunate, but we have lost that. But just to give oneself, and as I said, it may be difficult to give oneself to God. But give oneself to something very, a higher cause, a higher purpose, whatever comes to us as the highest we can conceive of, or a great ideal beyond that littleness in which we are stuck. And see, life will give, flood us from with happiness, because it's the nature of life to be delight. And people ask, how do you say, in Air Force I used to hold these classes. So one day, some of these girls were going to a slum, usual tendency. So I said, where are you going? We are going to a slum to, I said, what are you going for, sir? Difficult. Then they started, such poor poverty they live in and all this, I'll see, uncondition your mind, go there and come back and tell me tomorrow, what did you observe? And particularly the children. Now many of us, I myself, grown up in modest surroundings. Not poor, but modest surroundings. So, I know that as a child, what I sought, I was just naturally happy. Most children are like that. So they came back and told, sir, you were right. We were looking for somebody who is full of depression and we'll do something. I said, you are the people who are making them depressed. They were very happy till people came and started distributing free things and made them feel, this is what... very happy. It's the nature of life to be happy. We have put bars between us and that delight which is dripping in existence. Children are very spontaneously.
As you said, whether you ask or you don't ask, ultimately life teaches you to seek.
Yes, life teaches us to seek. And it breaks those littleness limits which we don't like. We find it very uncomfortable. It's not karma or anything. It's a grace when these limits break, because then, you can grow a little more wide. Absolutely. That's true.
One begins to feel sooner or later in life that something is missing. I know myself. Possibly everything that I could think of. But still there was a feeling of vacuum, something missing.
I think
when you begin to feel that, then you begin to seek.
Yes.
So what is it that I'm seeking?
Yes.
And then the answer comes.
And that one thing changes the meaning of everything. It gives that true value.
In this case, is there more happiness in seeking or more happiness in becoming?
Both carry their own happiness. Seeking brings its own joy. It's like you are going to a pilgrimage. On the way you are chanting. But why is it giving happiness? It's giving happiness because you know where you are going. So there can be very blind. Some people say enjoy the journey. Yes, you should enjoy the journey. That's a different thing. Some people feel that by setting a goal you are... That's when you have a very limited goal. I quite agree. If you have a limited goal, then the seeking has its own joy. But when the goal is infinite, then definitely finding is infinite. So seeking brings its own joy. But because that finding is not, then you are not, whatever little thing was close on the way. For example, I'll tell you. When you are seeking, you are the seeker and there is the sought. And there is a gap, which is the path. It's there in all tradition. Buddha, Dharma and the Sangha. Or Bhakta, Bhagavat, Bhagwan. So there is the Bhakta who is the seeker. Bhagwan is the sought. And Bhagavat is the journey. But when the seeker and the sought become one, Can we imagine what it means? When the seeker and the sought become one, there is endless delight, it's pouring, it's radiating to everything all around. It's multiplying itself in countless ways. When you are seeking, your joy still will be limited. I am talking only of joy. Your joy will be limited to this little person who is seeking. He is becoming wide. Still it is he. And when you have found, then this he is multiplying in countless bodies, countless, numberless existences, which is what the world is made for. Eko ham bahushyam. If you go back to the origin, the divine himself was infinite, but he wanted to multiply. And even in life, just one more thing I'll add. Supposing you see a place which you have gone to a place or seen something which is very beautiful, no? Then what is the first thought that comes after you have enjoyed that moment? What is the first thought that comes? You saw something very beautiful. You want to share it, no? You want to either get it or take a picture. Or if you can't do it, for instance, you have gone to a mountain. What is the natural urge? I'll come with someone, isn't it? The joy of sharing comes when we become one with the Paramatma, because he is constantly sharing with endless. That will be missing as long as one is a seeker. That is the difference.
What if some people say that, I don't know God. Does he
doesn't matter. That's a term. But everybody knows, seeks God. For example, if I ask them, like this very happiness you are seeking. So, that's why I asked a question. Normally, people will not use the word permanent. That was my prompting. They don't realize. Unwittingly, they ask happiness. And before God can ask them the next question, they are away because they don't know. He'll ask something for that permanent, for that happiness. So, what is happiness which is permanent? All the happinesses that we know in the world, we know that they don't last. Isn't it? So the moment you use the word permanent, permanent delight of existence, we don't have to use the word God. Now, how do Upanishad use the word for God? Raso vai saha. He uses the word rasa. Imagine a term used for God is rasa. Buddha didn't even use the word God, anatmavad, but what did Buddha say? Permanent? So, it doesn't matter. We don't have to put an image to God, a form to God. We can or we need not. But ultimately, we are seeking that permanent. Permanent joy, permanent knowledge, permanent bliss. So, all that which contains all of these together harmoniously. That's why Sri Krishna is described as Anant Guna. Infinite personality of the Godhead. So, Anant Guna means each of these. Power, permanent, infinite power. Infinite knowledge, infinite love, infinite bliss, infinite beauty. So we don't have to use the word God. So God in the Indian context means this. But in the Western context, it's a different God. It's a God seated somewhere with a carrot and stick and who is punishing people and who is judging people and rewarding people. That is a very primitive notion of God, and in India it has never been there.
Went up to UNESCO.
Yes.
All the nations were signing the charter. About 130 nations. So the charter said building one of the points
was servitor.
Servitor of the divine consciousness. So the
Russians
said that we don't believe in the divine. So you won't sign. So they consulted the mother and said, what do we do? He said, for them, make another charter, remove the word divine, put perfect.
Perfection. Mother laughed actually, because it's a concept of God.
Perfection.
We don't believe in concept of God. For instance, a God who judges, God who condemns, obviously such a God is outdated.
Signed,
yes.
Perfection, yes.
Perfection. So, God is, that's why if you go to Vedas, they use the word Agni. And what is Agni? That which is impelling you to move forward. Other day, you were there. So, even today we use the word When people want to do something, you say, aag hai kya? Do you have the fire in you? We use this word, no? Fire is something, and in Hindi the word is agni. And you see the word for moving forward is aage. Aage badho, aage. So something is in us which is impelling us to move forward. That's agni. So in the Vedas, if you go originally, they talk of agni as God. One of the most important name of gods is agni. They say, kasme devaya havisha videham, which god should we offer first? And the rishi says agni. He doesn't use the word this god, that god, agni. Why? Because it's the power which is impelling us. So it doesn't matter. Don't believe in God, it's not important. I often put it jokingly, don't worry, God believes in you. They said, how do you know? I said, because you want to progress. That day you don't want to progress, you want to sink into inertia, still he will prompt you, some reason or the other. You close yourself, that's a different thing. As long as there is the urge for progress. But then, whether we want limited progress or unlimited, infinite, that. So journey, everything is a journey.
But there is a thing. So when you are in the journey, you are in the so much joy. Sometimes you know that if you reach the destination, then you don't know the joy will remain or not.
Then there is insufficient faith. Because that joy is going to multiply any number of times. That's where faith comes in. You won't have the experience till you touch something of the infinite. So that's where the faith gets limited. That when I reach there, that's why I said, see, an individual journey is ultimately an individual journey. That's where Sri Aurobindo's yoga comes in. That individual moksha is invariably a limited goal. But the moment you take that this whole creation is moving, what a great delight. People often ask me that, you know, supramental transformation aajayega, kab aayega. I say, take the delight, that's where it comes, it's going to multiply.
But what makes you think that destination will be arrived at? So there is no end of the destination.
Ah, that is the other part.
Yeah, that is the other part.
Ah. It's just a moving goalpost. You get there and you
When you know there is another goalpost,
But there is a little catch here about the other goalpost is that, yes, beyond supermind, there is the delight and many other things. But this goalpost is a crucial goalpost. After this, it's delight to greater delight. Before this, we may say, sounds very nice that the journey is joyful. As long as we are in ignorance, even traces of it, as long as we are not one with that, this joy will be shadowed by death and suffering. You just can't help it. Even if God comes, he goes through earth, it will be shadowed. And why? Because it's going to point us. It's a pointer that your journey is not complete. That's the other part. It's not as easy. One enjoys one day. See, as I can tell you, like for instance, you have every level, you may have joy. Then the body at some point tells you that, look here, pain is a declaration that there is imperfection. So of course, one can say it's part of the journey. Now that's pactizing with fate. Or things which we loved and hoped, we lose them. Now that's imperfection. We will find joy, but it always shrink like that. It's like shadowing our advance.
So practically speaking, there has to be a price.
Absolutely. But fortunately, that price is not in dollars. You can't buy God by any amount of offering of money.
Exactly. So what's the price in the human life?
Very simple. I'll quote from first a mystic Doha, then I'll translate in English. So Kabir says, Mother says the same thing. Every mystic has said this. So Kabir says, Ye to ghar hai prem ka, khala ka ghar nahi. He says, you are going to step into the home of love. Nobody has asked you any money, so you think, I can just walk in? Ye to ghar hai prem ka. This is the house of love. Khala is your auntie, your father's sister. Khala ka ghar nahi. Then he says, Sheesh kataye bhui dhare tab baithe ghar mahi. You have to cut your head and offer at the feet of the mother. Then you are qualified. Now what is that price? Is the ego. That's what we are talking in different terms. Smallness, narrowness. Ego takes so many forms. Me, my yoga, my sadhana, my perfection, my nirvana, my family, my country. Ego takes so many forms. That's why it is called as Bahurupini. Even when we talk about my perfection, my yoga, it's still the ego. That's why it's the most subtle ego. Shubhendra and the mother speak of the last lure of the ego is my moksha. I'll get moksha. It's the last lure. My nirvana. If you cut even that, then there is that ultimate infinite delight expressing itself in so many ways. Then all fear vanishes. Then all is bliss and beauty. And
one doesn't attain the infinite, one becomes the infinite.
Yes, absolutely. The moment you attain, that's what you can't crack. Now there again, you become infinite at one to start with at some fundamental level. So deep within, you are in that infinite radiance and infinite peace, infinite joy undisturbed. But man is not that inmost being. Your soul has come in contact. That's where Shivindu's yoga comes in. But your mind, your heart, your life, your body is still laboring infinite. So step by step, all of them have to receive and be liberated by the touch of the infinite. Which I am not going into detail because that may not be, So all of them agreed. You become one with the infinite. But again, you don't lose the individuality. This is the third aspect, since you mentioned, just to complete. Because many people think then there is no, you lose your individuality. The truth, that's where the soul comes in, individual soul. It is a portion of the divine. And unless the will in the soul is to vanish, it can remain forever. The infinite and this drop which is infinite, it need not dissolve itself. So there is the multiplication of the delight of the bhakta is a way of saying now, because there is no more bhakta and Bhagwan. Sri Ramakrishna would say, they keep a little veil just to enjoy the relationship, which makes it even more delightful. So there were times when he would pick up flowers and start giving to himself, and people thought he has gone crazy. All the flowers, prasad, kept for Mother Kali, his instinctively he'll go eat it. He has gone crazy. But that moment he was so identified with the Divine Mother. Then he'll come back to his normal. So, but when you come back, you are so identified, then so that's why the multiplication of delight is the only reason why the individual portion and the divine, that's what supramental realization is about. If you go beyond it, then there is no more any, one has that option. But to participate in the supramental perfection, to choose the other option where there is the individual portion, which is also completely conscious of the infinite. And there is the infinite holding it like a child held by the Divine Mother and pouring everything. And then of course the mind, life, heart, body, all the transformation, that's a long journey. You become infinite. You can't hold. Parabrahman you can't hold. What arms can hold? What is it? Who has seized him? What arms possess? Who? We have love for a boy who is dark and resplendent. A woman is lord of us, naked and fierce. We have seen him a muse on the top of the mountains. We have seen him at work in the heart of the spheres. You will never feel afraid. One of the first experiences that comes when one touches the infinite is that all fear drops. That's how Guru Nanak ki vani mein hai na. When you describe the attributes of the divine, one of them is nirbhayo.
Without fear.
Without fear. What will you fear? You are going in the... Imagine, Arjun is on the battlefield with Sri Krishna. He has revealed him now that I am divine. Before the revelation, okay. Even then he has an intuitive faith that he is... if I am with him, I am safe. Now he has revealed that he is the divine. Now Arjun is going through. All kinds of things happen. 18 Akshahini Sena is massacred, which includes his own son, dear son. But what does Arjuna do? Every time he turns to Krishna. He knows that he is the Lord. Then fear goes away. That's the beauty. Otherwise, always there is fear. Ego brings fear. What if I lose this? If you are holding something, you lose it.
But ego makes you do very good things also.
It does. I mean, it's at one stage it's required to individualize. It's to make your own brand of ice cream. Actually, it is. That's why ego is there.
The fellow I knew, who was very proud about the fact that he does not lie. But the important part was not the lie, but I do not lie.
No.
It is ego. Why did ego made you do something?
And one may add, the only lie ever he uttered was, I do not lie. Because honestly, if you don't lie, you don't need to talk about it. When you become something, you don't need to talk about it. God does not keep saying, you know, I love everybody. He doesn't need to. He is what he is. You'll know it. He who lives in truth doesn't need to say that, you know, I am very truthful and honest. Are you? You're trying to impress somebody. So, anyways, these are the mysteries of the infinite, and I think we can stop here. This is, I hope, we took a dip in the Kshirsagar, that's all. 3 things the Vedic rishis asked for. They had a term for God. Vedic rishi, original yoga. And that's what our aim should be. Satyam. Satyam is not my truth, your truth. The truth, which is permanent base, which doesn't change. Satyam, which is full of delight, that truth. Ritam. That truth arranges, there is a right law of everything. That's what dharma, it's called dharma. Everything unfolds in a certain way, to know it. Like if you have to drink water, there is a way you drink it. Or you have to fix a nail. There is a dharma, you do it. Or you have to fight a battle. So that right law of things is rhythm. Rhythm, seasons, it all applies. Comes from the same root. The third was vrihatam. It liberates you from all mental conceptions, ideas, you know their place, but it frees you. You can no longer be held by one single system of philosophy or idea. It liberates you. Its touch liberates you. You become vast. So let satyam, ritam, brahatam be our goal, perfection, purnata. That was another thing which they sought for. Perfection, fullness. Now we have become annulment, let's run away, you know. Fullness. And that's why till we arrive at this purnata, life continues to struggle. Because we come back to the same thing from where we started. Deep inside we are seeking that purnata, perfection.
You asked her question, whether you believe in rebirth. And you said no.
No, she was quiet. She was silent. Yeah, which is fine. Yeah. Not that we need to believe in rebirth, by the way. Huh?
But it's a fact. Whether we believe it or not, it's a fact. And a fact which is verifiable.
Yeah, that's verifiable. One part, yeah.
I know of a friend of mine, the Modi family, this rich Modi family.
Yeah, yeah.
He was 3 years old. He started speaking. And he said he was a pandit in this particular temple, such and such place, and he died at such and such time. So they took him, went to that village, exactly the same thing, and this was the name of the time of death.
Last 100 years, lot of researches have been done. It was part of the program by Dr. Raymond Modi. He has written a book also. He searched. So that part is of course there. Even transplant people I know it's very feeble. But for leading a life we don't really need. But to understand we need it. But you can't understand unfolding in one life and you are born in strange circumstances. You can't explain it. So understanding the unfolding, we need rebirth. But otherwise, to grow, we don't need. We need to, you know, it's enough to know, infinite. Okay, so we'll stop, Pradeep bhai.
What a great opportunity. We have one more chance to grow.
No, it's wonderful. That's what I'm saying. It's wonderful.
It's an opening.
So I keep on saying, they had a movie, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara. So I said, it will get, brother. हमको तो दोबारा तिबारा कितने बारा मिलेगी हमको तो मिलती है अरे एक लाइफ में भी मिलती है तो कितने लाइफ में बिल्कुल मिलती है जिंदगी मिलेगी दोबारा या इट्स अ वंडरफुल थॉट टू यू नो स्टे विद ओके थैंक यू सो मच जय महा